Good morning, everyone. So good to see you here. The Lord is good, isn't he? Yeah. Today I have I believe what I would consider a word from the Lord, and it's not to say that other sermons are not that way, but today, just this past week, just a special sense of the Holy Spirit dropping a peace in my spirit. So I want to relay that to you. And before we get started, let's pray with me. Would you do that? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask, God, that your words would be my words and your thoughts would be my thoughts. And God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. I pray, Father, over the next few moments that you would just blow through this place, Holy Spirit. Be welcome. We have welcomed you in praise and worship. We have prepared our hearts and our minds. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would place the seed of your word into our hearts and bring a nourishment to that seed, Lord, by the power of your spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, let me start this morning with what I actually believe. Here's kind of the sum of the thought this morning, and then I'll go from there. But simply said, I believe that the most important or the greatest need that we have, the greatest need that we have, both individually as well as corporately, is a fresh revelation from the Spirit of God. A fresh revelation. You see, it's going to take a fresh revelation to help us to understand and to know Jesus in a more intimate and personal way. It's going to take a fresh revelation to help us to understand as a church how we are to function here as well as in the community. It's going to take a fresh revelation for us to be able to receive all of the plan and purpose that God has for us in our lives, our families, and in our church, in our community. Amen? A revelation. We are to be people who live by revelation. And quite often, we tend to think in terms of vision. We'll say, well, Pastor Bill, what's your vision for the church? And that's actually not the correct question to ask. The correct question to ask is, what's God's revelation for us as a church? What does God have to say to us that would direct us to his divine purpose for us? You see, it can never be contingent, Pastor Joseph, on the vision of a man. If this church hinges on the vision of a man, we are for sure in trouble. Oh, that was your chance right there. You could have. Let me say it again. If this church, if our lives hinge on the vision of an individual, would you agree with me that there are times that we just don't see things quite right? We can filter through, we can interpret, we can, through experience, both prior and present experiences, we can misinterpret what we're seeing. It requires a fresh revelation. What is a revelation? To have something revealed would imply that it has been, so to speak, covered, and now it is being brought forth into the open. It's there, but it's not recognizable. For some reason, it has been somewhat concealed, but when God reveals, he takes off the cover and enables us to see clearly. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us as individuals and as a church, is we need his fresh revelation. We need to see as God sees. We need to hear as he speaks. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So, I want to lead and direct our thoughts to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. So we're not in 1 Thessalonians today. The Lord has changed my heart, and he's directed me to Isaiah chapter 43. How do we receive fresh revelation? If it's vitally important for us to have, if our life literally needs to be oriented to revelation as opposed to vision, You know, actually, when I think of the scripture that's written in Proverbs, typically we'll say, without a vision, my people perish. But the actual translation of that, I believe, the more accurate interpretation is without revelation. My people will cast off restraint. The vital need of God's revelation. I think our government needs revelation from the Holy Spirit. I think Ephrata needs revelation from God's presence. I think our school systems need revelation. Yeah. So in Isaiah chapter 43, our text today found in verses 18 through 19, Isaiah is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing to the people of Israel. And he has this to say in verse 18, forget the former things. Forget the former things. And do not dwell on the past. For see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Only God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Only the Spirit of God in His sovereignty can make streams in a dry, barren desert. My prayer for you and for me and for us as a church is that we would experience the fresh taste of streams in the desert. The freshness of God's presence and of His Spirit, He so longs and desires to pour out a freshness of His presence. Do you understand that we were actually made to desire and need His presence? We can search all over to what we would think may fulfill and bring a hope and a fulfillment of life, but only His presence can bring a fulfillment to the depths of our beings. So the prophet Isaiah is saying to, number one, forget the former things. Secondly, do not dwell on the past. And then thirdly, to see that He is doing a new thing. Well, we have to start with an admission that many of us don't like new things. Can anybody relate? Because new would tend to say there has to be change, there has to be transition, there has to be a motion and a movement in a direction that is different. And how many like different? Thank you. I'm going to talk to you. Okay, just to you. You like different. All right. Now, we're not seeking different just for the sake of being different, but what we are seeking is this fresh new thing that Father says He's doing. And interesting, it says that He is doing it now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, I am doing it now. It's at work now. But what that would say to me is that we have to have eyes to be able to see His work. And sometimes His work requires us to press in and to be intentional at seeking and seeing what He is doing. Sometimes it requires work for us to rightly discern what God is doing. Can anybody say amen to that? Sometimes it requires effort and persistence and an ability for us to continue to press. And when we get tired and weary of the press, sometimes we could walk right past the stream in the desert and not even recognize it's there. But oh, let me reassure you, there is a stream. There is a life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit that is available for you and I. God wants us to have a life of overflow of His being and of His presence. And He wants us to learn how to have our lives, our thoughts, our minds, our decisions, the motions of our steps. He wants us to be oriented to His revelation, where He speaks and we hear. When we sense a gentle tug in our hearts, that still small voice that says, don't go there, come over here. And we respond. We pick up, we recognize as he moves and as he leads and as he directs. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Well, what I've been experiencing for the past several years, the past, I would say, 10 years or more, for me personally, has been what I would call a stripping away. A stripping away of prior visions. A stripping away of prior expectations, a removal of what I thought life was going to look like, a stripping away. I'm talking about me. As I think about 30 years ago, which seems just like that in many ways, 30 years ago, I had a vision as to how life was going to play out. I had a vision as to what I expected. I had a vision and I had dreams. And through the past three decades, I can truly say that the Holy Spirit, in his loving kindness, has one by one sequentially stripped those visions away. Why? So that I can receive the revelation that God has for me. Because you see, as long as I orient my life on my own understanding and my own vision can get in the way of God's revelation. So there is this stripping away quite often. And what I've been learning is that life actually comes from death. I put in my notes here that as I have traveled through the years on the journey with Jesus, most, if not all, of my visions have been subjected to the furnace of death. Doesn't that sound pleasant? How many would like to go into the furnace of death with me, huh? Nobody? But do you remember with me, and I take a side, a little tangent here, but we had on the television this morning, we tend to leave Hillsong on for the dog so that the dog can have church at home while we're here. So the dog Piper is at home watching Hillsong Church right now. And the pastor of the big church there in Australia, he was speaking on Daniel, and I was cooking my egg and I was just kind of listening in a little bit with the dog. Of the thoughts of Daniel, and the pastor was talking about Daniel going into the furnace. Remember the story? Daniel going in, and he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he did everything right, but yet he received the furnace. He served God faithfully, but wound up in the furnace. He was true to God's promise, but wound up in the furnace. He went into the furnace, but he did not, excuse me, into the lion's den. Let me get the right thing. Sorry. You're looking at me kind of like, huh? Okay. There were three friends that went into the furnace. I'm not all wrong. Okay, hang on with me here. I need to get back to my notes. Just making sure you're listening. Okay, yeah. Somebody went in the furnace. Okay. There was a furnace and somebody went. Okay. Wasn't Daniel, it was his buddies. Co-captives. All right. Now we're tracking. They didn't go in the furnace, though, alone. Remember the story. As the king looks in, he says, I see a fourth man, and he looks like the Son of God. And they bring them out, and not even a hint of smoke. Yeah. God can sustain us in the midst of stripping away. He sustains us by his mercy in the midst of furnace experience. It's not comfortable. It's hot. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. As you sense literally the burning away of visions and of dreams, well, I would rather have God's revelation for one day than every vision that I could ever dream up in and of myself for a whole lifetime. Give me the fresh revelation of God for even one moment. I'll do the exchange gladly. Why? Because God sees more than I see. He understands. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. I could never begin to dream up a vision grand enough to even come close to equaling the revelation that God has for my life. So even though for the past 3 decades it has been very, very difficult for me personally to see dream and vision one after another be stripped away, yet I would not be where I am today if I had not allowed myself to go into the furnace and let them be moved away. Yeah. So it positions me to be able to receive this revelation. Until we are willing to let go of the former, we will never be able to acknowledge and receive the new. Let me say that again. Until we are willing to let go. Now, I have to confess to you that through those 30 years, I have played tug of war quite often with God. No, God, that's my vision. That's my dream. What are you doing? And pull and tug and wrestle and surrender and then go back and take it again and wrestle it some more and try to yield it again and back and forth in the tug of war. But yet God in His great kindness and in His patience, He says, Bill, will you trust me? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with these dreams? Will you trust me with these visions and allow me to come in and breathe revelation into it? And I will take and bless you above and beyond what you even think possible. Oh, yes. You see, God is not out to be a dream killer or a vision stealer. What He wants to accomplish is He wants to express Himself and to make Himself known to us in revelation so that we develop relationship with Him and with others. You see, because quite often I have to also say that my visions were about me. Me, me, me. I like me. I want the best for me. I'm just talking about me, right? Not you. God in His revelation comes in and He leverages that me orientation away. He makes it die. He helps us to have the opportunity to go into a furnace experience and allow these things to be burnt and stripped away so that as we receive His revelation, we can have an other orientation. I get blessed in the process, but it's no longer about me. It's about Him and others. And then I get blessed in the process. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So God brings us to places of softening and surrender. He brings us to the place to where we can even approach and have the capacity to forget former things. Now, we may not forget as far as in our minds and experientially, we can recall the things that we've lived through, but the aspect of forgetting is connected to this second statement is do not dwell there, don't live there, don't remain there in the past. Allow God to usher us forward through fresh revelation into this new thing that He is at work in. I'm telling you here, as I think about my own life and as I look out in just the congregation this morning and I see families and individuals, the best thing that I could give to you and the best place that I could lead you to as your pastor is this revelation that God has for your life. Hmm. But the simple reality for most of us, if not all, is we will not change until we have to. Is that not true? It's human nature. In fact, let's be more specific. It's fleshly nature. It's the sinful nature that we each carry in our lives. It is a nature that has preference to what we have it right now. I have it the way I want it, and I don't want to change, but God in His great mercy and compassion brings us to places of softening, of surrender. Is there anyone here that would be honest and lift a hand and say, Pastor Bill, I'm in a place of softening? Oh, yes. I'm with you. My prayer, as I saw the spattering of hands go up with that question, my prayer is that each and every hand in this room would be able to be lifted. Oh God, here I am, soften me. Would you be willing to pray that prayer and truly mean it? Now get ready. Do you know what you would be praying? Do you understand what we would be asking for? We would be asking for the furnace that would strip away. But I can guarantee you, on the other side of the furnace, when you come out, you will have experienced the fourth man. You will have experienced one whose presence is the Son of God. You would have a revelation in the midst of the furnace that as you walked through the flames and you started to dance and the flames licked up around you, you wouldn't be alone because you would have a revelation of Christ Himself. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And if it takes the path of the furnace to get Him, then let the furnace come. And oh God, give me strength to bear the heat if I gain Jesus in the process. Oh yes. A place of surrender. For 400 years, the children of Israel experienced slavery in Egypt. There was a forced submission. Oh boy, my prayer is that we don't have to experience the forced submission. Better for us to choose to surrender ourselves to the mighty hand of God than to be subjected to a place of slavery. But because God loves His people, He enables opportunity to come around. And in the people of Israel, for 400 years, they experienced bondage and slavery. They were submitted to hard taskmasters that controlled every single move they made. One of the vital aspects as we're thinking about this fresh revelation is that we have to understand whose we are. Who owns us? Who do we belong to? Look with me at Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1. Isaiah 43 verse 1, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. You see, revelation comes from our understanding of ownership. God's ownership of our lives. He formed us in His presence. He formed us in His image. And as a result of that, we are in desperate need ongoing of His life-giving presence. He owns us, spirit, soul, and body. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. But as long as we wrestle with the issue of ownership, as long as I feel and operate and function as if I own myself, then I will put myself at odds with God's revelation for my life. As long as I persist and struggle and fight and scrap and play tug of war over the issue of ownership, we have to settle this issue of ownership once and for all. We belong to Him, spirit, soul, and body. He has the say over our lives. His revelation is designed to lead and direct us to health and wholeness and fullness of life, but we have to be willing to release ownership. Are you with me? This aspect of surrender to the ownership of God. The extent to which we live the surrendered life is the extent to which we can anticipate to receive fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The extent to which I live the surrendered life, the extent to which I recognize and yield the ownership of my being to God, to His complete and firm ownership, that's the extent to which I will accept and receive His revelation. The more I fight, the more I strive, the more I struggle, the more I attempt to be in control of my own destiny, the more I posture myself with my back turned to the sovereignty of God, and He has a way to reposition me, so I turn and look to Him. And in the case of Israel, it was called slavery. Now, I pray that we as a church don't have to experience slavery to be able to be repositioned facing God. Revelation coming from the stripping away of the former things. There's been so many fights and divisions and struggles in churches through the years over a fight to attempt to maintain former things. I'm not saying that's here. You all doing much better than that. You all. Ewans. I truly believe that God is calling His church back to Himself. He is calling His church, Big C, Global Church, to Himself. He called His people out of slavery back to Himself. He brought them out of slavery that they might come and sacrifice and worship and stand before Him in His presence and to know Him intimately. God, I believe, is calling His church back to Himself. And He is asking us to be willing to let Him move us into fresh revelation, into a new thing through the avenue of His revealed purpose. And we can fight and scrap and tug against each other over methodology and miss the Master as He administers streams in the desert. And people can go right through our doors and miss the life-giving presence of a holy God because we are so bound and oriented to scrap and fight over methodology that served its purpose 50 years ago. Whew, man, oh man, Pastor Bill, go back on the drums. Put your headphones back on. We need to hear this, church. We need to hear it. Now, let us not misunderstand or let us not perceive the difference between message and methodology. Let me say that again. Let's be careful when Pastor Bill takes a step in this place that we're not hearing him say that we are going to forget the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but methodology always changes. I was hoping for a little more right there. Okay. Now, have we, through the decades, even in the short time that I've lived life, I'm so young. I am so young. Okay. I've not seen very much at all because I'm so young. Okay. But the amount of time that I have lived, and as I've been in the church world, there have been so many misfires when it has come to methodology. There have been embarrassments. There have been miscues and misfires and mistakes. And we must be honest and say straight up, absolutely, Bill, for the sake of methodology, pastors and churches have taken steps and it's been a disaster. But we have a bad tendency as Christian people to just throw it all out and not learn from it and move forward. Did you hear that? Let us not allow ourselves, because there has been mistakes in the past, that is not an indication for us to fasten ourselves in a current place that we might miss the revelation that God would be breathing, because we're afraid of making a mistake like it was made before. None of that's in my notes. Not a single thing. Get back here. Get back here. Now, so Father brings us to this place of removing, stripping away, forgetting the former things, the process of being able to release and to let go. That forgetting aspect is a purpose of my will, is to allow it to be gone, to allow myself to move on. Secondly, this release of revelation, how do we get revelation? It comes then by a deep longing and a dissatisfaction with the way things are. Have you ever become dissatisfied with the way things are in your life today? Can anybody relate to that? Anybody at all? That you long for a change. You long for a difference. You're not afraid of a change. You're longing. You're in desperate need of the change. Can anybody say that's me? Oh, yes. Now let me talk with you. That's a great place to be. Is it fun? Is it comfortable? Do we like being there? No, obviously not. But it's this place that God works His revelation into our lives to enable and equip us to not dwell on past, but to be postured to move forward as He breathes His revelation into our lives. A deep longing. The people of Israel, 400 years of slavery, they got to a place where it was unsustainable. I cannot go on in life the way it is. And they began to cry out to God. And you know what happened? God listened. God heard their cry. I pray that it doesn't take us 400 years to get to the place of longing. I probably won't be around that long to see it. But eventually, they got to this place. They cried out. They longed for God to bring them out of this situation. They desired. They had a passion to be able to move forward. They had a hunger that stirred within the depths of their being that said, "Oh God, don't forget us, your people. We have sinned, but God, come and bring your grace and lead us out of this place of bondage." And God had a plan. This longing, this dissatisfaction, it is a preparation for departure. I truly believe, in fact, there's a book that's written, Holy Discontent by Bill Hybels. He wrote a book on this thought. There is a holy discontentment that the Holy Spirit can stir within us. It's holy because it inspires or it stirs within us for a day that would be more positioned where God wants us. We're not satisfied to stay here. We're not satisfied that I have a longing and a desire to get where God is leading, and I want to follow Him, whatever the cost, whatever the price. I want to get there with Him. Because as I get there, I gain Him. I gain His presence. I gain His fullness. I gain His strength, His wisdom, His understanding. I gain all that He is as I continue to stay in step. But if I choose to stay here in current bondage, I forsake and lose the opportunity to receive Him. I have to want to get out of my place. I have to want to change. I can't make you change. You have to want to change. Parents, have you ever tried to make your children want to do something? How has that worked for you? Have you ever had your children do something because you made them do it, but in their hearts, the whole time they were doing it, they had a rebellious streak in their heart, and they just kind of went, I'll do it, Dad, but I'm not going to like it. I may have to do it, but you're not going to make me have fun while I do it. Bless God, I'm just going to be miserable while I do it. Oh, yeah. This longing, this dissatisfaction, it brings a cry. It positions us for this departure. And until we become fully displeased with the way things are, we will never be willing to move when God provides the way through the wilderness. We have to want it. We have to long for it. We have to say, oh God, whatever the cost, whatever the price, I want that more than the comfort, so to speak, of staying where I am. Because it's not comfortable here. Have you ever felt like you can't win if you stay where you are? You're going to be in bondage. But if you change and if you move, then you're unsure what that's going to look like. And so there's an unsureness. There's a kind of a fear here, but there's discomfort here. So what do you do? What do you do? You don't dwell on the past. You release to be able to move. You long and you hunger. You embrace the dissatisfaction of the moment, because that's what propels us forward as God makes a way in the wilderness. He will make a way. He is at work, but we have to want it. We have to desire it more than anything else. Oh, yes. Dissatisfaction, it's painful, it's stressful, but it's filled with longing for the new day, for this fresh revelation. A longing for a day that promises fresh experience of freedom. And it's a crucial place in the journey because it has the potential to either push us forward or to propel us backward. This is a very important, crucial place when we're at this point of dissatisfaction. I can either allow it to pull me forward to where God is or push me back away from Him. It's vitally important. God's fully aware. He's fully aware of what lies ahead. Remember with me, as the people of Israel left, do you remember the story that as they got so far and they were in the desert for so long that they started to grumble and started to complain and they started to think back? They started to what? Dwell on the past. They started to look back at the past and glamorize the past. Oh, did you hear that word? They looked back and they said, it was better for us to be in Egypt. At least we had food to eat. At least we had a place to sleep and to rest, but now we're out in the middle of the desert with no food and with no water, and we're just completely at God's disposal. We're completely dependent on God. It was better where we were. Oh yeah, God knew what was coming up. He wasn't caught by surprise by any of that. And it's at the time of longing and dissatisfaction that can actually become fuel for the journey at a future point when we start to feel the weariness of the journey and we would choose to dwell on the past. God stirs up and he reminds us, now wait, do you remember you were slaves? Do you remember that you cried out to me? Do you remember that you asked me to make a way? Do you remember that you asked for deliverance? It wasn't better then. It wasn't better. But quite often, we in our human nature, we have the tendency to glamorize the past. Oh, if we could just have it like it was in the 50s. Now, because I'm so young, I don't know what it was like in the 50s unless I watch Happy Days. That's my only reference. Or talk to my parents. If we could just have church be like it was in the 70s, Pastor Joseph, that's when they sang the anointed songs. I'm going to get in trouble. A fresh revelation. It doesn't mean that we can't go back and sing a song of the 70s. It's not that God's going to come down and wipe us out because we sang Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh my goodness, I went back to the 70s. That's not at all what I'm saying. It's the issue of dwelling there. What does it mean to dwell there? It means that your body is living in 2017, but your spirit and your soul is living in 1970. Your heart, your hopes, your ambitions. Quite often, I am accused wrongfully by my family that I am still living in the 80s. The 80s were the best decade ever. I graduated from high school. I graduated from college. I got married all in the 80s. And you've heard me say that the 80s has the best music. See, Harold's all over that. Harold's getting blessed right now in the back. And we have, as church people, we have a tendency that the time that we got saved, the decade that we got saved and when we gave our lives to Jesus, we fastened to that time and the songs and the methods and all of the pieces associated with that time become sacred to us. Are you following? In order for us to receive a fresh revelation, this new thing that is referred to in Isaiah in our text, we have to be willing to not dwell or live in past experience. Let me hurry on. Now, I have so much more here, I may have to do a part two on this. But quickly, let me just come back to my notes and as I think about the people of Israel, I see two aspects of leadership. I see a Moses type of leadership, a Moses who initiates the departure, a Moses who God uses to lead from bondage, a Moses who comes into the current setting and hears the revelation of God for the moment. It's a message of deliverance, a message of movement. It's a message of dissatisfaction with the current. It's a longing to move forward. There's a Moses style of leadership, but then there's also a Joshua style of leadership that takes and goes into the promise that God has. Bear with me. Some of us may not actually complete the journey. Some of us start the journey, but God raises up another generation that which we pass the baton of leadership to. Now, we don't like that thought. Many of us, I don't like that thought. But I'm realizing that even as young as I am, that there is a generation who is coming forth, and they need us, they need me to help them get positioned for fresh revelation for their lives, because it could be that I start the journey but hand it off to them for them to finish the journey. Are you understanding? Okay. Moses started, Joshua finished. We must not become distracted with the current state of affairs, because they will continue to change as the journey progresses. If we could just keep that in mind as we watch Fox News. Or whatever news channel you watch. We must not become distracted. I think one of the key efforts of the enemy of our souls, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He understands that he cannot steal the salvation of Christ from our lives, but if he can come and distract us from a freshness of God, he can keep us in the past and keep us stale, therefore ineffective for God's kingdom. In essence, when he distracts us from the move of God, as God moves and as the journey progresses, and as God continues to make a way where there seems to be no way, the enemy wants us to become distracted and become complaining and murmuring and griping against God, and he distracts us from the destination that God has in mind. And God is saying we must not dwell on the past. We are to allow the past visions and dreams to go through the exit of slavery in order to experience the revelation that God has. Now let me wrap this up and quickly move on. Just a quick recap. How do we receive revelation? First of all, we have to allow a stripping away to take place. Secondly, we have to enter into a deep longing and a dissatisfaction, a longing for the new. Thirdly, the revelation of God comes through His Spirit. Look at the text with me again. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. We must receive fresh revelation in our spirit, I believe, before we see it with our eyes. I believe it's a kingdom principle that God, through His Spirit to our spirit, breathes fresh revelation, spirit to spirit. And I have to receive it in my spirit and then walk it out in the natural. It seems to be a kingdom principle in the way that God functions. Why would that be? I believe that if it were possible for us to, so to speak, perceive in a fleshly nature, in a flesh way, then we would have the ability and the tendency to take credit of God's work and literally dislodge or remove him from the work of his own hand if a man could take credit. Now, bear with me, but I think sometimes why in the past things have failed, initiatives and strategic plans and things and methodologies that I mentioned earlier, why they have failed in the past, I think to a large extent, it could be that they were man-oriented, flesh-oriented, as opposed to spirit-oriented. God speaks spirit to spirit. We have to be able to have ears to hear what His Spirit is saying. I have so much here that I felt like the Lord gave me. It's almost difficult to pick and choose. It probably is a part two. I guess simply said, God will never share His glory with another. As He speaks to us. Now, the need for us as a church and as individuals, as families, is to bring ourselves to a place, posturing our hearts and our ears before a holy God. Scripture says that only the pure in heart will see God. Last week we talked about the holiness of God, to be holy as He is holy. In order for my spirit man to be positioned to be able to hear truly and to hear rightly of God's Spirit, I must lay aside all of the weights and the sins that make me stumble. Are you finding yourself stumbling over the same weights and the same sins? Are you facing the same issues today that you were facing a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Are you carrying these things through the years? It will, if so, these issues, these weights and sins will keep us fastened to former things. It will make us dwell in the past, and we will not be able to receive the streams in the desert. So our prayer has to be, God, help me to lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily make me stumble. I'm going to have to come back to the rest. I'm going to ask the praise team to join me on the platform and Pastor Joel to be prepared to come up and close us in prayer. But heads bowed and hearts bowed, eyes closed. Just quickly, just wanting to know if this has resonated with your heart at all. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Bill, I want the fresh revelation that God has for my life. I want His fresh revelation for what He has for my family. I don't want to be stuck in the past. I don't want to be dwelling there. I don't want to be held to former things. I want to make myself available for anything and everything that God has for me. Anybody here, lift a hand and say, that's me. I want what God has for me. Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Joel.
Yes, Lord. God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we can come into this place where we can freely worship you and that we can receive what you would give to us this morning that you have prepared us for to hear and to receive this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to let this soak into our hearts and resonate with us, Lord. Let this be so real to us. Let us constantly be seeing you and what you have to offer us, Lord, above anything that we could do on our own. God, this morning as a church, as we receive your word, Lord, we pray that you would take us to this new place, that you would help us to strip away the old, Lord, to take it to the furnace and to look to you, to lean into you, to your mercy and your beautiful plan for our lives. God, I pray that you would lead us. Lord, lead us into love. Lead us into loving our neighbor as you've called us to love. Lead us into loving you as you have called us to love you. And so this morning, all across this room, Lord, we give you glory. And we pray that these things would be done in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. What a great word this morning that we've received from the Lord. And let me just encourage you to pursue this week. Pursue him. Pursue his presence on your own. Carve out time. Pursue the Lord and respond to what he would tell you. All right, go and be blessed this week.